you better.
You better not cry.
You better not pout.
I'm telling you why.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
And that was Santa Claus is Coming to Town. I'm Dave Taffet, and I am here in the studio with the late Patty Fink. This is Lambda Weekly, even though that wasn't our theme song. But the reason we played that, was the Turtle Creek Chorale from last year?
2 years ago, I think.
2 years ago, okay. And we have as our guest, Turtle Creek Chorale acting director Sean Baugh, and Gary Kearns, who's been with the Turtle Creek Chorale since 1932.
Just 11 years.
Oh, 11 years. Okay.
Close. About as long as David's been on Lambda Week.
Yeah, that's when I started. Sean, welcome.
Thank you,
Gary,
David.
Gary, welcome.
Thank you.
You have a concert coming up, your Christmas concert.
We do. We have a concert called Jangled coming up, and it's our traditional holiday concert series, and it's going to be December the 18th through the 21st down at City Performance Hall, and then next weekend, actually, on the 13th, we have two shows up in McKinney at their Performing Arts Center there.
You just started over the summer.
Correct.
Trey, who was the former director, was there about 2 years. He left fairly suddenly, and they turned to their – you were assistant?
Associate time,
director.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And they made you acting director just real suddenly, so don't listen. Gary, how's he doing?
He's doing phenomenal. He stepped in, took over where Trey left off, quickly planned our season because it hadn't been planned, just dates, and really programmed the season in probably a matter of weeks or maybe months, but at least conceptually very quickly to get us prepared for this season, our 35th.
And we'll talk dirt later. We'll send him out of the room and we can talk about all the things that have gone wrong so far. You already had one concert.
Correct.
What was that one? That was really different.
We opened up with a kind of a different opening concert for us, and it was called Brave. And we looked at different aspects of bravery, whether that be in the face of bullying or whether that be in the face of domestic violence. And we put a show together around what it takes to persevere through those times. And it was a smaller production down at the Latino Cultural Center, but it was really effective. And the guys loved it because we kind of got to share our hearts a little bit more than we normally would in a concert. And I hope it was successful.
And I saw it. I loved it. Was it a good way to get the group back together under a new director, do you think?
And it was kind of designed that way. We had planned on doing an anti-bullying concert to begin with. And over the summer and consultation with some people I really respect a lot, and we thought we really need to do a concert for us, a concert that not only told the story about bullying, but also told our story of how far we've come as an organization and as a group of mostly gay men. So it was for us, and I hopefully the audience took that heart away with it, and we added them to our family through that concert.
You had at the concert somebody who had been a victim of domestic violence, mm-hmm. a woman who, she just told her story beautifully. The audience was in tears.
Yeah.
It was in a small venue, but it was just very, very powerful. How did you even hook up with her? How did that come about?
So it's a funny story. Over the spring last year, we were involved in a competition through IKEA. And it was an IKEA grant challenge that whoever got the most votes between these two organizations got their office redone by IKEA. And we were up against a group called Hope's Door out of Plano. And Hope's Door is a domestic violence advocacy and support group. For women, and as I told the audience that night, by sheer numbers, not by virtue, we won that competition. But we formed a relationship with Hope's Door, and we actually went up to Plano and did a benefit concert for them at St. Andrew's Church up there. It was beautiful, really a stunning time to be together. And then February came around, and
that's called guilt.
Yes. Yeah, we still feel
a little
it.
Give back.
But, I mean, we fell in love with the organization. As a matter of fact, during intermission, the guys who were singing backstage took up a collection for them of almost $500, just impromptu. The guys just fell in love with these stories and really wanted to do something to support. And then in February, I mean, you couldn't let a concert called Brave go by without acknowledging domestic violence and the bravery it takes for women and men in those situations to overcome that.
Especially those with kids.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, mm-hmm. And we all know from being on the bullying end of things, many of us, it's very difficult to raise your head high when someone is either screaming hate or doing hate.
Mm-hmm. You know? Absolutely.
What was so powerful about that was that, you know, different members of the chorale told their stories, but then this woman stepped up and she was explaining what her organization was. And at first you kind of think, how does this really fit in with the chorale? Mm-hmm. But, oh, God, was her story powerful. I mean, she had been, she even spent time in jail from all of the repercussions of the domestic abuse, and I couldn't even begin to retell her story, but it's just a real powerful story. But that's what the Turtle Creek Chorale does, takes what seems to be a simple idea and turns it into just this powerful, beautiful piece. So tell us about the rest of your season. You have Jangled coming up. It's going to be at City Performance Hall for five
performances total. Mm-hmm. Let me count. Thursday night, Friday night, and then two on Saturday, and we'll talk about the Saturday afternoon mm-hmm. one, and then one matinee on Sunday. So is that five?
That
did
is
I
five.
Count correctly?
Yeah.
The Saturday matinee is actually a children's performance that we will kind of take a shortened version of our program. We'll add in some elements that are more appropriate for children. Not that the rest of our concert isn't, because it's pretty safe, but
that's so not going to be de-jangled?
No. Just plain jangled. But I like that. I might have to use that. So that's the Saturday matinee performance, and it's just a smaller, mm-hmm. little shortened performance of our standard show.
And children of all ages could attend?
Absolutely, okay. Yeah. And children of all ages can attend the regular performance as well. It's a little long for a young child maybe to sit through a lot of music, but that's why we do the Saturday afternoon one.
David, I think you should go to the children's one.
I'm planning to.
Your attention span isn't very long.
He's fidgety.
Oh, know. Okay. Yes.
Well, there'll be a lot of fidgeting on that Saturday night.
A lot. I'm
sure.
Yes.
And that's expected.
We're prepared.
You know what? You have one of the songs that from this CD mm-hmm. you're going to be doing at this month's concert. Which
yes.
one was that?
It's Do You Hear What I Hear. It's an old chorale favorite.
Why don't we play it?
Sure.
Thank you.
And that is Do You Hear What I Hear, which is going to be part of this month's Jangle performance.
Absolutely.
The Christmas performance.
It's probably my favorite piece on the program, to be honest with you. So.
Which one?
Do You Hear What I Hear. Or as I told the group,
Patty, do you hear what he hears?
Absolutely.
Oh,
when I introduced the piece yesterday down at Clyde Warren Park, I introduced it as "Do you hear what I do?" And that didn't make a whole lot of sense.
And then you said something else.
And then I messed it up a couple of times.
I was hoping to be there at that. That was all week. The city of Dallas has had different groups performing on at lunchtime, basically.
Yeah.
It's performed on Friday.
Friday we did the WRR event, which we do every year. The caroling, it's not at the Adolphus anymore, but it's caroling, used to be caroling at the Adolphus. It's caroling at WRR now. And we did that. We've been doing that for years. I would probably venture to guess that we're the longest-serving group of theirs that have done this. And then yesterday, we sang at Clyde Warren Park downtown for a packed park because of the weather. So that was a lot of fun, too.
Excellent.
Okay, the next concert is a real exciting one after that, the first one in the spring. Tell us about what that's going to be.
You bet. On February the 7th at City Performance Hall, this is our 35th anniversary, as Gary mentioned earlier, and we are going to be producing an alumni show, and it's kind of a favorites of the Turtle Creek Chorale program, and one of those favorites has to be our past artistic director, Tim Selig, who's going to come back and join us for that one evening concert.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a weekend of rehearsal and festivities for the members, and a lot of guys who've sung in the past are going to come back and sing. It's really going to be a fantastic evening.
Yeah. And then you end your season with?
We have two,
you have two more
shows after that.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Our following spring show is called Britain, Beatles, and Bond. Britain as in Benjamin Britten, the composer. But it's an evening of British music. And then the last concert of the season as we head into summer is just a fun sing-along show. It's called Turtley 80s. And I don't think the Turtle Creek Chorale has ever had a sing-along production before. So we're asking our audience to come in their 80s wear and come in ready to sing all kinds of Debbie Gibson and Tiffany songs.
Oh, no.
Hit wonders.
Yeah.
Is there going to be room enough for the hair?
Oh, well, we'll make room. On stage or in the audience?
Anywhere. Anywhere. Oh, my God.
Big hair, flipped up collar.
I'm trying to forget about that kid, right?
It's coming back.
Yeah.
Now, Gary, when you joined the chorale, you've been a member 11 years, you said.
Correct.
What made you join?
I joined, a friend and I were at a pool party in the summer talking, just we had both sung in the past, and it was coming up on the chorale's 25th anniversary year. And so we both said, you know, it's going to be a fun year with them, you know. Let's just do it for a year. And so that was kind of the agreement. We would both join for a year. We both did. I stayed. He decided not to continue on because it is a big commitment. But, you know, so that was really it. I'm like, let's just see what the crowd's about. And it's going to be a fun year with the 25th anniversary. So,
Okay, so now it's the 35th anniversary. Good time for people to still join?
Our next round of auditions will be in January. So, yeah, perfect timing. And they'll come in and sing. If they can learn music very quickly, they'll sing the anniversary show with us and then the following two shows. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, TurtleCreekChorale.com has all the audition information for prospective members.
Good. It is a big commitment to be a member of the chorale. Describe what that commitment is.
Well, I would, you know, I always caution new members to just kind of sit back and join the general group, because that's, you know, certainly Tuesday evenings, a couple Sundays throughout the year, and then the concert, you know, the concert weeks is what it pretty much turns into. And then, you know, we go from late August till, you know, late May or early June, mm-hmm. depending on the dates. So you get a couple weeks off in summer, and then you're back at it.
But it's really more than that, too, because you provide your own costumes.
Sometimes,
yeah, some folks do, depending on the number.
Yeah, yep. It depends. You know, I'm in a small group, and I know this year we're going to provide our own mm-hmm. costumes partly, you know, because it's some outerwear and some stuff everybody mm-hmm. has in their closet, and that's mm-hmm. that's kind of how we decide. If you can make it, let's do it.
But I'm talking about you own your own tuxedo,
your uniform, your absolutely. Concert uniform.
Yeah.
Sure.
and if are you taking any trips that you have planned yet?
Not this season. No.
If you're taking a trip, There's some fundraising that goes along with that,
sure.
But most of that is the responsibility of the member, isn't it?
Sure, yeah. There's certainly financial responsibilities that come along with it as far as the time and the time commitment as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, Gary didn't mention all the personal preparation time that the guys take. I'm saying this for all our guys that sing listening out there because I hope they're looking at their music this weekend. But just on their own to learn the music because it's rehearsal time is just not enough. So they have to spend a huge amount of time on their own.
And Patty, Sean wanted to know why I didn't audition for it. You've heard me sing.
Yes, and I can't unhear that.
Ouch, the love.
Do you unhear what I unhear? I don't know.
Can I unhear?
I'm afraid he would turn to the chorale and go, do you hear what I hear?
We have openings for associate members, non-singing members, David. You're more than welcome to come be a part of that group.
I appreciate that. You know what? We need to take a break. You're listening to, and let's go out with a little bit of music. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet. I'm here in the studio with the late Patty Fink, and Ron will be back with us next week. Our guests are Sean Baugh, the acting director of the Turtle Creek Chorale, and Gary Kearns, who is a longtime member.
Shalom.
Hanukkah is here. It's a happy time of year. Every Jewish girl and boy is glad. Yes, Hanukkah is here. Such a happy time of year.
I hate minor keys.
So why do all the songs
gentlemen, the bus and truck tour, a fiddler on the roof.
Hanukkah is here, time to cut a rug. Hanukkah is here, everybody jitterbug. It's a mitzvah, it's a line to say l'chaim in swing time.
And you are listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. We had a real tragedy here at the station this week. Mike Doyle, our longtime engineer, passed away, and our heartfelt sympathy goes out to his family. Just a nice guy. Anytime anything wasn't working here at the station, which was often, we'd just call Mike and he'd have it fixed for us in no time. So
I remember calling him quite often, and it was never like a good, joyful, hi, I'm just calling to say hi.
Yeah, no.
You know, I'm like, our signal's out.
Right. Yeah, the computers are down, the phones aren't working, dead air. and he always had us back up, but he passed away this week. Yeah, yeah. So our love and thoughts out to his family. We are talking to Sean Baugh, the acting director of the Turtle Creek Chorale, and Gary Kearns, who is you're a board member.
I am a board member.
Okay.
Now, yes.
Tell me, he's the acting director. Why did you feel you needed an acting director to direct your acting rather than a musical director to direct your music?
Another reason David's not in the chorale.
I actually call it more interim, I guess, than acting, but it's a transition period. And like you mentioned, Trey did give some notice. It wasn't on July 30th. He told us that was the end. I mean, I think he told us in February or March. Or so. I don't remember the exact time. What is early spring?
But that's not enough time for a full search for a new
director.
Certainly
not enough time for a national search. That takes a lot of time and energy and finances to do that. And so I think as the chorale, we really wanted to take this year and just sit back. And we're under wonderful direction. And Sean's vision for us in the interim, you know, as we know it now, is where we need to be. And just kind of assess things. You know, we didn't want to jump into a search immediately and just have more turmoil and volatility. Mm-hmm. So we really just wanted to have a very good, solid musical year, and I think we certainly have that.
Okay, now, Sean, does that ensure his solo?
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
$5. I'm not a soloist.
He's a great dancer, though. You'll see some of his dancing skills at Jangled.
John, how did you get involved with the chorale before that? Actually, still, you're the music director at Cathedral of Hope as well. Where did your musical career start?
Well, I came to Dallas, actually, to study instrumental conducting, and I did at SMU. And I was really going to be a band director, I think, for a career. And I taught one year when I was in undergrad, and I kind of realized maybe that wasn't the place for me. I'm not sure I had the patience for that. And then after grad school, I just, to be honest, I kind of fell out of love with music. And I hadn't found the place I wanted to be, so I went into marketing and design and left music completely behind me. And it wasn't until years later that it was Tim Seelig's last year in the chorale, and they were doing a piece called Will We No Longer Touch, which I had heard. I bought a CD years ago at Crossroads Market when I drove down from Oklahoma, and I heard that piece, and I cried all the way home. And my friend Darren called me and said, hey, this is Tim's last year. He's doing that piece. Do you want to go sing? I said, yeah, we can do it for a few months. Let's do it for a few months. And a few months turned into a few years, and here I am.
How did you get started with Cathedral of Hope?
So I was still doing marketing work, and I had kind of made a decision privately that I wanted to get back into music, and I was missing it, and I had... Since I had become associate at the Turtle Creek Chorale, so I was starting that journey. And a great friend of mine and a great friend of this city's, Dawson Taylor, who's now in Florida, called me up one day and said, you know, we have a potential opening here. Is this something that might interest you? And then everything just started to roll, and I started at Cathedral. And I've been at Cathedral for just over 2 years now, I believe. And just really haven't looked back. I'm doing music full-time now.
Now, for somebody who hasn't been to Cathedral of Hope and seen a service like you, Patty, because you're a heathen. you know, I've been there a number of times, and my rabbi has given me full dispensation for all of the services I've been to.
I've been to many. I've been to many services there.
Every speaker that I've heard, because you've had some fabulous speakers there this year, and several of them we've had on the show. Every one of the speakers, you know, they do a big musical anthem or wonderful production number just before the speaker comes on. The speaker stands up and just goes, wow, I have never heard anything like that in a church before. How many members in the orchestra?
We range, depending on the Sunday, we range from, I would say, 20 to 35.
And how many singers?
I would say somewhere between, and again, depending on the Sunday, around 50 to 75 to 80 we can fit up in that loft. So.
I mean, that's a huge musical production you're putting on every week.
Every single week.
I mean, and I get that some weeks, you know, it's smaller than that, and that for the weeks that I've been there for the speakers have been the big weeks.
Yeah.
But I mean, this music just fills the church, and it is just gorgeous.
Thank you.
Yeah, how do you keep it fresh every week? I know in our services, in a Jewish service, it's the same damn songs every week.
Called tradition.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is. But, I mean, you keep coming up with different things every week.
Well, I have to give credit. David Moldenhauer, who oversees worship there, is really the mastermind behind all that. He's the planner, and I'm kind of the public face, and I execute things. He is a genius at liturgy and at church music. And so I actually get the lucky job. I get to come in and give my opinion every once in a while, and then I get to stand on the podium and wave my arms around and kind of put his vision out there. So I mean, Dave is an incredible musician. You'll see him over on the organ on most Sundays, but he's really the mastermind behind it all.
Because it works, whatever you're doing. It really just works beautifully.
I was just going to say, can we borrow you every second and fourth Friday at our service?
Well, Sean is actually planning on coming to one of our services to see just how horrible music can be.
Right. But you know what? You know, that's a really good thing because the bar is so low.
The bar is so low.
You know, I mean, open canvas.
Right. I honestly believe this is, I'm not, it's not playing lip service here. Any music that comes from the heart is beautiful music to me.
Oh, that's going to be tested.
Gary, you've been with the chorale for more than a decade.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And some concerts are better than others. Some concerts are, they stand out. In your 10 years, what are some things that stand out?
The things that really stand out to me, there's an event that goes on every 4 years. It's gala. It's a gay and lesbian choral across. It's international now, I think. And my first opportunity was in Miami, and I just couldn't make it work. So when I went 2 years ago, 3 years ago now, to Denver, and just the power of having 80 or I don't remember how many, the number of gay choruses in such a, there's four venues very close, kind of like downtown Dallas, and they're just constant performances, and the respect that the Turtle Creek Chorale gets there was just astonishing and amazing to me. I mean, you just walk down the street, you have a Turtle Creek badge, and people stop and talk to you just because of that, because of the notoriety of the chorale. That's one. I think the other most powerful, and it was just very random, is when we went to Spain 5 years ago, maybe now, 4 to 5 years ago, the chorale took about a 3-week trip to Spain. We toured, and we actually got to march in the Madrid Pride Parade, which you've seen Cedar Springs Parade. There's 50,000. There's over a million people at the, and it's a 4-hour-long parade, and it ended at some park, and we actually got to perform. Tonight's going to be a good night, and so it was just an amazing experience to be in Madrid for Pride with that many people, and the crowd was asked to perform. So that was an amazing experience to me that I will never forget, that concert. And certainly the ones here are amazing. Like you said, there's some that I enjoy more than others. But
I'm not saying any of them – I've never seen a chorale concert that I just walked out and said, oh, that was bad. But, yeah. I mean, there have been some that have just been so wonderful, like the one that you mentioned, Sean.
When We No Longer Touch.
When We No Longer Touch, which was filmed – for PBS and won an Emmy Award. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was that good. Mm-hmm. If ever there was something that deserved an Emmy Award, God, that did. But is there one concert that stands out in your mind that you just really enjoyed for whatever reason?
Well, and I would say probably my very first Christmas, uh-huh. Because that, it's very intense up on stage, and the powerful music kind of overcomes you when the lights are, when the lights hit and the poinsettia trees lit up. And I was actually right next to the poinsettia trees, so quaking in my shoes because I was so nervous up there. But that was probably one that I'll remember too, because it's just such a – it's always touching. And like you mentioned, the signing Silent Night, it's – if you think it's impactful from the audience, it's impactful up there as well, mm-hmm. Because we're hearing all the same sounds, the rustling of the tuxes in all that silence, and it's sometimes hard to do it because it becomes emotional.
It's the most amazing thing I can recall never having seen before. And we were just talking in the break about how people are copying you, different chorales and choruses and musical groups, but it's just so powerful. You go through every verse, signing the entire time, and then the last verse, there's no sound. It's just the signing. Mm-hmm. And it's just makes my heart flutter. Mm-hmm. It's just amazingly poignant.
Okay, now one thing you mentioned is the poinsettia tree. Explain the poinsettias.
Well, I know it started off years ago during the AIDS epidemic.
Which is why for years I couldn't go to this concert because I knew so many of those people.
The people, right. Yeah. And I came in after a lot of that. And so it started off as, presenting a poinsettia for every member that had passed, and then a song sung to that, and that song changes your year. And it's grown to be 200.
You just had your 200th death.
There's not a poinsettia per person now because it's just the numbers are larger and larger. So there's a poinsettia tree that contains a large number of poinsettias that are dedicated to all those 200 members and that will continue as life goes on.
And that is just one piece. The first time I saw it, I was just in tears and had to leave. I just couldn't.
It's hard to sing through sometimes as well.
That number is always hard to sing. When you turn and look up at the tree, and now that I've been in 11 years, I know people that are right. on that tree now, where when I first came, it didn't mean that much mm-hmm. as much to me because it was people who I didn't know. But now, you know, I know many of those names mm-hmm. up there now, and it's really hard to get through that song.
So how do you get through the song? I've had a couple of people tell me how they got through it.
You, for me personally, you have to really think about something else, and you have to just get through the production of the music itself. And that's harder sometimes than not, because I remember my very first Christmas concert, which stands out in my head. Tim had us all turn around and face the tree that very last concert and sing them. I mean, you can't get that out of your head. But you know, our rehearsals, at least I try to make them all meaningful and emotional moments in and of themselves. And hopefully the men have experienced what that means before we ever get to the concert hall. So when we get to the concert hall, we're not handcuffed to be able to bring you into that experience. We can really share what we've already experienced with you.
I was talking to Robert Emery last year for a story I was doing. I guess it was for World AIDS Day, I believe. And he said that you rehearse it, you get all the crying out ahead of time, and you get on stage and you're performing. And try not to think about it because it was, you know, it's that emotional. Related to that, talk a little bit about the show that
Jangled.
No. The Emmy Award winning.
When we no longer touch.
Yeah, when we no longer touch. The words weren't coming out.
Use your words.
Yeah. Okay. How did that come about? Because that's part of this, really.
Well, When We No Longer Touch was actually originally a song cycle that was commissioned by Chris Anthony. And if you've been in Dallas for any amount of time, you know that name, who passed away either shortly before or right after the premiere of that piece. And it's a song cycle based loosely on the stages of grief, but relating to losing a partner of AIDS, to AIDS. And during the time the chorale was, along with many groups in the country, were really facing this as an epidemic. And this piece was a moment of healing for them. They took this piece and shared it at that gala festival, which in turn became a source of healing for all those folks mm-hmm. as well. And it's really lived in our repertoire for years. It doesn't get old, and it doesn't lose its poignancy because it can really be applied to anything. Mm-hmm. It's a stunning piece to listen to. It's a hard piece to get through, a good 40 minutes of music. But it's so gratifying and such an incredible piece of music.
And I want to play a piece from it called I Shall Miss Loving You. Sure. And this was from Michael Bradley's funeral. Hmm.
9 o'clock on a Saturday. Regular crowd shuffles in. There's an old man.
And you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Patty Fink. And our guests are Sean Baugh, the acting director of Turtle Creek Chorale, and Gary Kearns, who is a board member of the chorale as well as a singer and a dancer. And he paints the scenery. And, and that was the... I just clicked it off. The U.S. Army.
We teamed with the U.S. Army Chorus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or chorus, not yeah. band. Huh. The chorale has a history of singing with some, I don't want to say odd groups, because you'd be the odd group, but with groups that you wouldn't expect a gay men's chorus to sing
right.
with.
Yeah.
How has some of that come about?
Well, the first time we sang with the U.S. Army Chorus, that was really the brainchild of then artistic director Jonathan Palin, who made that happen. It's kind of an interesting story that we've even received some flack from some other gay and lesbian choruses for doing that. And
because it was before Don't Ask,
before Don't Ask, Don't Tell was Lindsay, yeah. And since then we've teamed up with them again, another concert that Laura Bush was one of the honorary chair people for. So. The Turtle Creek Chorale, we like to build bridges, and we like to extend that offer to anyone. We think that it's going to be a great partner on stage.
I mean, another one that you do brilliant singing with is Hamilton Park mm-hmm. Baptist Church, their mm-hmm. men's choir. And just gorgeous sound when you take those two groups together.
Yeah, we're great friends, and what an amazing, amazing group of singers. And I hope to do something with them again really soon, actually.
Any other groups you'd like to sing with, even if not particular, but kind of categories of...
You know, groups, there are some people I definitely would love to sing with. I can't wait for the day we get Dolly Parton on our stage.
If you don't ask, you don't get.
Exactly.
That's what I always say on this show. So
I can see that happening. I also have a vision, I don't know if it'll ever come true, of getting all the arts groups in our community together on stage and doing something together. And I think that's important for us to do, whether they be churches, whether they be other choruses or the bands or the orchestras that are in town. That's important to me. You know, one of my favorite artists that we have performed with recently was Sandy Patty, mm-hmm. who brought in an entirely different audience for us, of which a lot of those people love us now, and a lot of those people come to our concerts.
Mm-hmm.
We'll sing with anybody. You know, if you bring something to the table, we'll sing with you.
So when are you scheduling the concert with the First Baptist Church of Dallas choir?
You know what? Whenever they'll let us. How about that?
Because why not?
Why not? Uh-huh. You know what? The only way you can build those bridges is by learning their names. And by building relationships with people. Absolutely. Yeah. If you don't have a relationship with somebody, you're not going to know truly who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's both ways. It goes both ways.
You know, a beloved guest on our show, and we play her music quite a lot, is Charo.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
mm-hmm.
Charo would come down and perform with you.
I think the chorale has sung with Charo before.
Really?
I think. I might be wrong there. One of our chorale historians is listening right now, I'm sure, writing this down. But... I'll have to find that.
Spanish guitar and all.
That sounds familiar for some reason.
Well, if not, let me know. We'll get you in touch. Any other singers that you have planned coming up?
You know, not right now. This year we were really mm-hmm. focusing on the guys. We mm-hmm. want the guys to be front and center.
Mm-hmm.
And we built this season around that. I'm in the process of looking at next season, so I have a few ideas that I don't want to give away the mm-hmm. farm just yet, but some exciting
things. Yeah, you can't announce before.
No.
But people like Dolly Parton and Cher, probably Madonna and Lady Gaga, those are four that you can just throw out there
I'm
today.
Bad.
You know,
I'm
bad. No comment.
Well, they have just one name.
Well, there you go. Yeah. I like some of those names more than others, but...
But I think any of those would bring in quite an audience.
We could sell some tickets, I guarantee you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I have a question I've been wanting to ask. Now that the chorale has available to it our beautiful, expanded Dallas Arts District, which is the largest in the country... And for so many concerts at the Morton Meyerson Symphony Hall, which is an IMP work, just like City Hall is an IMP designed building. Do you have a favorite? So you're talking about City Performance Hall and you're doing Clyde Warren Park. Is there a venue that you guys really found either challenging or just a joy? I mean, I can only imagine the acoustics in the Meyerson are great, but that we have so many now, and it's continuing to grow.
You know, definitely. The Meyerson is by far one of my favorite places to sing and one of my favorite places for the chorale to be heard. There are so many options now, and we're able to do a lot of things at Dallas City Performance Hall from a production standpoint that we just weren't able to do at the Meyerson.
Because it has a full stage.
Correct, yeah, and it has a curtain, and it has the appropriate setup for that sort of thing. So, you know, we give a little, and we get a little in return from that. Some of the places I've loved performing, to be honest with you, St. Andrew's United Methodist Church in Plano, which we did that Hope's Door concert, was an amazing place to sing. Beautiful sanctuary. I love singing in churches because they're built for singing a lot of times. I mean, we've sung in the Windspear.
The Windspear challenging, though?
The Windspear was a challenge. And, you know, you asked the question, what a gorgeous hall and a beautifully sounding hall. But it's built for operatic solo voices. It's not really built for choirs, we found. You kind of have to amplify a little more than you like. So we found it a bit of a challenge to sound our best in that hall. Gorgeous hall. And it's great for what it does. And I don't think ours was the best sound in that hall.
But if you want a big stage...
There you
that
go.
That stage is huge.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want with that stage.
Well, we did those two. What were they for? The 30th anniversary of World AIDS Day. Mm-hmm. What was those? Where everybody came together.
The gathering.
The gathering and the awakening. There was two of them.
Right? They were both called Gathering. Yeah, okay. And I mean they were great events. Yeah.
But there you were only performing
just
one
a couple
or two
of numbers.
Yeah, numbers. So it wasn't the problem of amplifying for a whole concert.
Correct. Yeah. I think we have found a really nice middle ground with Dallas City Performance Hall. And not to say we won't be back at the Meyerson, because we likely will for the correct kind of concert. Mm-hmm. But the place is great. It's a great space for us.
You know what I find like is wrong with that place? There's not enough cement.
Right.
There's not a problem with sound there, sound bouncing off of the cement walls and floors and chairs?
We kind of like that as a choir. We want some of that reverb. It gets a little bit challenging at times whenever we have like a full band or a full orchestra in that space and we're trying to balance. But the nice thing about that hall is they have those giant curtains that you can pull in and out to kind of dampen some of that concrete. But you're right. It is a big, beautiful concrete box. But for some singing, we love a big, beautiful concrete box.
Kind of its own wall of sound.
It really is. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
I want to go back to you, Gary, with your history with the chorale a little bit. And this is to encourage people, not people who really can't sing, but people who, you know, you see the chorale singing and you think, wow, that's a professional organization. What was your singing or music background before you joined?
Well, my background, I had sung in church choir and high school choir. And so from vocally, that's what it was. I was actually more a musician. I played oboe and, you know, so that's where I got my musical love was actually instrumental, not vocal. And to me, I wasn't as an adult after college able to keep up with the amount of work instrumentally, because it really does. You can't just practice while you're driving to work. You know, you have to dedicate time to it. So I knew that, and it wasn't a passion that it was going to be my life's work. It's just I enjoyed it. So so that's, you know, vocally you can do that. You can sing in the car, you can sing in the shower. So you can really work your rehearsal time around your schedule, not have to carve out necessarily separate time to rehearse. So that's why I think it works for me. It's my love of music, and it can work with my 8 to 5, and I can work it all in. And you know, I drive up and down the tollway. That's 20 minutes to work and 20 minutes back. That's 40 minutes of rehearsal every day, that, you know, especially when it comes to now. So I just pop in our rehearsal recordings, and that's when I spend my time. That's what I spend my time, my personal time rehearsing, is on the way to work.
And really what I was getting at was you don't have this extensive musical background in order to join. And that's not something that you expect somebody to have.
Absolutely not. You know, when I joined the chorale just as a singer, that was my biggest surprise. I thought, I don't have the voice to sing with these men. And then I just found out that, you know, they had all kinds of varying degrees in musicality. Some many of our guys don't read music. They learn by hearing. And so if you can really carry a tune and if you can learn and memorize music, there's probably a place for you. And, of course, we have some really incredible singers. But don't be scared if you don't think that's you, because that wasn't me. I wasn't a big singer and still not a big singer.
Okay, so it wasn't me either, so to be honest.
Do you mix the good singers in with the weaker singers, or do you keep them separate so that the weaker singers don't annoy the better singers? How does that work?
Well, you know, we don't assign spots in the crowd. That the guys kind of sit and stand where they like, and then when we get into a concert setting, we might move some people around, but they sit with their friends, and their friends sometimes are really great singers and their friends sometimes are not so great. And our great singers have always been terrific at kind of helping the non-singers along.
And, you know, David, when you join, then, you know, you'll perform at the Majestic.
Yeah, that's probably what would happen.
Maybe a little further.
They give us the wrong address.
Maybe it's Bass Hall performance.
They'll even print up special tickets for me for the wrong venue. See, really, it is in Fort Worth. Thanks.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime.
The love in this room.
So you're going to start planning next year's concert.
Correct.
One thing about the chorale's repertoire is, I mean, for Christmas, you always do Christmas music, and there are a couple of songs that you put in every year.
Sure.
But you're always finding new stuff. But the other concerts are not repetitive at all.
We try for them not to be.
No, they're really not. I mean, like your last concert, Brave, you hadn't done anything like that
right.
before. You might have addressed bullying in some of the music over the last few years, but not a whole concert
sure.
like Brave. How hard is it to keep track of 35 years worth of concerts, or how far back do you go to make sure, did we ever do that before? And I don't just mean a song. It's okay to repeat a song if it fits into, you know, another concert a couple of years later. But I'm talking about the themes and the, you know, where's all this coming from?
You know, we have, first of all, incredible historians that are part of the chorale and some guys that have been around for 35 years who will remind you when you're treading into that territory, nicely, of course. You know, and there probably is quite a bit of overlap in the things we've done. But so far, you know, my one season that I've planned, I think I got lucky because we really hadn't done anything like it before. But you do your research. You look back. You look at old programs. I have giant binders full of old programs that you look back to find out when you did things. Computers make it a lot easier because you can just type in a piece of music and suddenly you find out when you've done it. As much as we'd like it to be some really magical creative process, it's mm-hmm. it's a little bit more bare bones than that. It's just thinking, oh, there's a story here I want to tell, and then let's just find the music that fits mm-hmm. in that story.
You mentioned earlier that you could be an associate of the chorale. So what are some things that if you wanted to just volunteer and, you know, maybe like be around that, you know, stardom, you know, and hang out. What are some things that a non-singing person, male or female, could do to help the chorale and volunteer? And who would they, what would they do to get involved?
Well, I would say, you know, you mentioned painting sets, you know, because I can't paint and you won't want me to with a saw or anything. But certainly, you know, the things that they can help with are the front at the performances. We always need volunteers to help with that. To help with the setup, to help with some of the behind-the-scenes activities that, as performing members, you just can't do because you need to be on stage or you need to be changing. So you always need those type of non-singing people who enjoy being around the stardom or just being around the organization and who want to volunteer.
And it is kind of exciting to be, you know, you're down in the arts. Well, you're down in the arts district among all these wonderful new theaters that we have, and you're actually working in one of them for a few evenings. It's a lot of fun mm-hmm. to do. One other thing, going back to ideas.
Sure.
Gala is this organization of the different choruses. Do you share ideas with them? I know I have this mental block against the name of the piece we played before. I will be loving you.
I
shall miss loving you. Yes. That one has been performed now. It was commissioned for the chorale, but it's been performed elsewhere around the country. Mm-hmm. How much sharing like that goes on?
A lot, actually. And, social media has made it a lot easier. But we have leadership conferences every year where the artistic directors and the executive directors will get together and share ideas. There's a lot of collaboration that goes. There are courses that team up to commission big pieces. We actually just did one with a variety of courses last year, which we're going to do at some point. So a ton of collaboration. The Gala Chorus community is pretty incredible. Mm-hmm. And we're all kind of in the same boat together of figuring out what the next stage of Gala Choruses look like.
And I want to go out with some music from a few years ago. But before I do that, tickets for Jangled are available at?
Tickets you can purchase online at turtlecreekchorale.com, or you can call 214-526-3214 during the week to order tickets or leave a message.
And nobody ever gets the number the first time. We know that from Pledge Drive. So the number is?
214-526-3214.
And I want to thank you both for being here.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Again.
Thanks.
To God.